Thank you, Rosalie. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Dawn. And thank everyone for coming out this evening. I'm going to begin with an older poem and then move from there to a couple newer ones. My green velvet purse. The shrinking is gradual as the expanded wires lock under the gold clasp, concealing my popsicle pink lipstick, the bluebirds embroidered on my lace handkerchief, and of course, the rosary beads. Mother warned, never go anywhere without your rosary. As though those cold, hard crystals could bring me comfort. There is no comfort in crystals, only in the touch of exposed velvet gathering at the opening where the whole being comes together under that crucial cap of gold. Different tone here. After 50 years of marriage, I've decided my body is perfect, with breasts hanging like fallen melons, and skin spotted but always soft. My rounded stomach looks like a rogue map with all its stretch marks and cracks. It tells me only where I've been, not where I should go. I like the way my husband becomes excited when he touches my dimpled buttocks. I don't like when he yells, "Turn off the light," while I'm trying to read. He doesn't know. I turn all the lights on in our house after he retires to his favorite chair, raises his feet on a wooden stool, and falls asleep. I regret nothing in my life, except I didn't stay in Paris with that other man. Okay, we'll go from home to work now. Two walnuts on my desk. An office Christmas party. I, the only employee who received two walnuts from the big boss. The message was clear. My struggle was over. I put them on my desk. Two walnuts from the big boss. His male assistant was envious. His male controller was envious. I, his HR director, in a red dress and red lipstick, had two walnuts on my desk. One day, the foreman on the road crew came into my office, saw the two walnuts on my desk, and cracked one with his little finger. Still I, his HR director, in a red dress and red lipstick, kept two walnuts from the big boss on my desk, one cracked, one intact. And the foreman, well, the foreman sustained a broken pinky, a broken bone on his pinky. I messed that one up. A broken bone on his pinky. True story. Okay, this is my attempt at a prose poem. Mike the Bum. Most mornings he woke on the side of the dock where the Pittsburgh press drivers loaded their trucks. He never talked, never begged. Before leaving the dock, some drivers would toss him a couple bucks, loose pocket change. On cold days, he slept in the cab of his favorite driver's truck while the drivers loaded his paper for the day. This driver was the only one who talked to him like he was a real person, asked him how he felt, if he was hungry, told him, "Have a nice day," and handed him a fin, enough for 5 beers. The other didn't know he was a former boxer, never noticed his sad but kind blue eyes, his sandy hair sprinkled with gray, always in need of a shampoo. They didn't know he ate at the Improvement for the Poor or St. Joseph's Home of Hospitality when he was hungry. Didn't know he read torn books from the dumpster when he was sober. Not seeing his favorite driver for a few days, he wondered. No one told him about the accident, Shadyside Hospital, the internal injuries, a broken back. Finally, he asked. Without a word, he hitched a ride to the hospital, stopped off at the men's room, combed his hair with his fingers, slapped water on his face, dried it with a paper towel, cleaned his few teeth with his right index finger with antiseptic soap on it, then tucked his faded maroon shirt with holes and a missing button into his tattered khaki pants. One last look in the bathroom mirror, and off he went to the third floor, room 316. I, the driver's wife, hesitated until he held out his hand and said, "Hi, I'm Mike the Bum. I'm here to see my friend." Thank you. Okay, it's my privilege to introduce the next reader, who is a dear friend, a beautiful person, a wonderful human being, Shirley Stevens, and a great poet.